One of the men, nearly trampled in the rush, cried out,
"Fuck! See those lumps? They're on the damn horses!"
Another notched a steel arrow into his crossbow.
"Could be a diversion."
The deadly weapon was carved from solid oak, the steel bow salvaged from a pre-dark car chassis. His crossbow could drill a 3-pound bolt through a man at 200 paces. Silent and reusable, it was his preferred weapon. He only wanted the blasters for what they would buy. Women, more arrows, and jolt. Lots of jolt. Charging inside, the Coldhearts found the stable empty.
"If they're not on the horse, or in here..."
A sharp whistle made them spin, and the companions cut loose from the living quarters, the barrage of rounds tearing the attackers apart, limbs flailing from the multiple impacts of hot lead. When the smoke cleared, Ryan took the point and entered the stable, checking the bodies to make sure none were only pretending to be dead. Without remorse, he dispatched a pair who seemed remarkably undamaged. After gathering their backpacks, the companions walked from the stable and found a squad of Sekhmen racing their way.
"Here come the Marines."
Mildred shifted the medkit over her shoulder to a more comfortable position. She knew Ryan was wounded, but there was little blood, and now wasn't a good time for repairs.
"What the fuck is going on here?"
The Sekhmen in front had a loaded crossbow in his steady hands. His head was shaved except for a thick lock hanging from the back, and his clothes were old but clean. A quiver of arrows was draped over his shoulder, and a zip gun was tucked loosely into a holster designed for a much larger pistol.
"Who are you?"
The stock of Ryan's long blaster rested on a hip. The man scowled.
"I'm Corporal Anson, Sec Chief for Baron Polk, and I ask the questions here, Outlander. Now, for the second and last time, what happened?"
"Dueling is forbidden, you know."
"Does this look like a duel?"
The second man shrugged.
"Could be."
Ignoring the fool, Ryan addressed the corporal.
"We just arrived today and came here to buy horses when a gang tried to backshoot us. They aced Fat Tom and we aced them. No duel, just a straight theft."
Anson called into the stables.
"Ratter, you alive?"
A pile of hay shifted, and the stable boy crawled into view.
"I didn't see nothing. I was working hard."
"Hell, boy, that's what you always say."
"Can I go?"
Anson swatted at the boy.
"Get!"
Ratter dodged the blow and scampered out of sight around the stables. Taking his time, the corporal studied the companions.
"Well, your story sounds legit, but I think we'd best go talk with the Baron. He doesn't like killing in his ville."
"Unless he authorizes it."
"Is it different where you come from?"
Ryan slung the blaster over his undamaged shoulder.
"No, lead the way. Maybe we can talk some business with the boss."
The corporal eased off the string on his crossbow.
"Well, it has been known to happen. That is, if he decides not to hang you."
"Fair enough."
"Looking to become a sect man by any chance? There's a lot of openings."
"Not likely."
Ryan then tried a shot in the dark.
"We have info on Frankenstein."
"You do? What kind of information?"
Satisfied his hunch was correct, Ryan smiled and said no more. After the people had gone, Feather snuck into the stable and found Ratter looting the kitchen of food. Tiptoeing close, she hit the boy over the head with a stone, and he dropped to the floor. Unsure of his condition, Feather hit him a few more times until the blood ran freely from his mouth and nose. Tossing the stone away, Feather grabbed the bag and finished the job he started, then left quickly. As she pelted down the streets, the gaudy slut chortled in her newfound wealth, a bag of food, weapons, clothes, and a bullet. The old doomie in town had been right. This was her lucky day. Pity about what the mutie had foretold about the Outlanders. The black-haired Cyclops seemed nice. Too bad he was going to die. The female mutie leaned on the table and whispered,
"He will lie, but believe every word."
Lunch long done with, Baron Jackson Polk looked up from the crumbling book on chemistry he was struggling to read and stared at the doomie.
"What was that?"
Althea said nothing for a moment, listening to the silence of the throne room. The pre-dark auditorium was shaped like a seashell, with a raised dais at the apex of the truncated cone. Radiating outward across the room were hundreds of seats, and the softest whisper on stage would carry to the farthest reaches. Simply amazing. Many of the farmers and fishermen thought it was magic, and secretly worshipped the wizard baron. Knowing a good thing when he heard it, Polk did nothing to change their opinion, and having a Doomy for a lover only helped his mystique of being more than just a man. Her solid white eyes seeing nothing, the beautiful mutie came closer and took his hand.
The black man with one eye. He will lie, but believe every word. He has come to kill, has already killed and must kill more. His destiny is in blood and fire.
An assassin?
Yes and no. He hasn't come for you, doesn't know you, cares not for you. He seeks the Sky Killer who threatens the world.
Sky Killer? A plane?
The woman wobbled on her feet, and the Baron snapped his fingers. A servant appeared to slide a chair into place before she fell. Polk waited until Althea caught her breath. When he'd first found the mutie woman 10 years ago, he took her to his bed because she was blind. His disfigurements were such that he couldn't stand to have another person see him without the robes of state. Then Polk learned of her gift and realized what a treasure the Doomy was. Twice in his reign as Baron, Althea had foretold of attacks by Coldhearts, giving them enough time to prepare a deadly welcome for the raiders, and once she warned him of a close friend who plotted to chill him and become Baron. Sadly, that also came true. Althea was always correct. But now the Baron wondered if her gift of seeing the shadows of the future had driven her over the edge into madness. Believe a liar, what was the point in that? Besides which, she always reminded him that the future wasn't set in stone. Sometimes, when they were alone in his chambers, Althea spoke of karma, a person's destiny, but also of Yharma, a person beating karma through courage and wisdom.
Some water, my dear?
Polk pushed the carafe forward. There was no response.
Wine, then?
I need sleep.
And Althea walked from the throne room, holding her temples. The moment she was gone, a Sekhmet entered the throne room and shouted,
My lord, several of the fishing captains request an audience.
Let them enter.
Polk rolled his chair to the edge of the dais. When the sailors arrived, they took seats in the first row and were forced to crane their necks to look at the Baron. Polk could smell the salt and tar on them, even from his elevated vantage point. He glowered down at them.
Well?
Twisting a cloth cap and craggy hands, a big man in rough-hewn clothes stood.
I'm Dwight Lane, captain of the Dixie Rebel. Baron Polk, the big swamp mutie aced another 5 of my men yesterday when it ripped apart my nets and stole a full day's catch of fish. My lord, our crews are starving, and each has lost kin to the mutie.
Some of us have lost more than that.
Of course, sir. Now, what we would like, with your permission, is to organize the crews of our 5 ships and the whole ville into a single hunting party to track down and kill that thing.
Useless. Without blasters, nobody stands a chance against the behemoth. Plus, there are the bugs to worry about. A hunting party that size could easily be thought of as an invasion force. And while we're hunting the beast, they're burning our homes.
But something must be done.
Another captain stood, a grizzled sea dog with weathered skin like canvas.
I was born here, my lord, but I'll be leaving on the next high tide. Living be hard enough without working every other day to feed that hell demon.
Give us a secret of the black powder. We'll make blasters and hunt it down ourselves.
Don't bother. We already chilled the gator.
Ryan Carter walked down the center aisle. Murmurs ran through the crowd of people, some frightened, others disbelieving, as the Vil Sekhmen led the way for the heavily armed outlanders. The strangers were carrying more blasters than anyone had ever seen before. Drawing a flintlock pistol from under his blanket, Polk used both hands to cock back the striking hammer. Their leader was a big man with hair black as midnight, and a patch covered one eye. But Althea spoke of a black man with one eye. This fellow was close, but clearly not the killer she spoke about.
And who are you?
Outlanders from the north, my lord. They had some trouble with Fat Tom, a horse merchant who tried to steal their weapons.
And they chilled him first. The man was a coward and a thief.